Thank you so much for tuning into a service with Hope Family George. We hope it inspires you and helps you with your journey with God.
Let's just lift up our voices to Him again. Just declare that, Lord, You are worthy of it all, Lord Jesus. From You are all things, and to You are all things, God. You are worthy of it all, Lord God. Lord, this morning we just invite You into this place, Lord. Invite You into our hearts, Lord Jesus. We've come to worship You, Lord, but we've also come to meet with You. We've come to be changed by You. We've come to be empowered by You, Lord. We look into the future and we know that we can only step into the future with confidence if we're stepping into the future with You, God. We don't want to take another step, Lord, without You. We need You, Jesus. You are worthy of it all, Lord. You are our Lord, our King, our Savior. Thank You, Jesus. Maybe just speak to the Lord right now. Just speak to Him. Just thank Him for different things. Thank Him for His goodness and His grace. And just personally recommit your next steps to Him. You are worthy of it all, God. Thank You, Jesus. Amen, amen. Isn't it great to be in church, hey? Great to be here. First Saturday prayer. Thank you, worship team. You can take your seats for a moment. It's really wonderful to be here. Marina and I are so excited to be home. Really excited to be home. We live in an incredibly beautiful country and incredibly beautiful people. And we had a very busy but very impactful time. It was great to spend time with our church in Northwest Arkansas and visiting and just thanking some of the other churches that support what we do in Zambia. Had our ARC conference, our ARC global gathering of leaders from around the world to come and gather and just encourage one another and talk about what God is doing and how we can best continue to advance the kingdom of God. And it is amazing. It is absolutely amazing to hear story after story of the church taking ground, moving forward, the gospel advancing. And it really is such a privilege. But this morning I'm going to be talking about, the title of what I'm going to be sharing is There Is More. There is more. There is more of God. And we're going to be reading from the book of Ephesians chapter 3, from verse 17. And this is the Apostle Paul, and he's praying, and he says this. He says, I pray that out of His glorious riches that He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit. There is power. Notice how many times that word power comes up in this passage, that there is power through His Spirit. So there is power in the Spirit of God, in your inner being. So there is power through the Spirit in our inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. So in other words, we need faith to access this power through the Spirit. And it says, and I pray that you being rooted and established in love may have power. Everybody say power. Okay, so this is a theme here in this passage. Together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and how long and how high and how deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. That's such an interesting passage because it talks about how we can be filled. In other words, it's also possible to be empty. It's possible to live this Christian life without the power of God. But here it says, I pray that you may experience the fullness of this power that we access through faith. Then verse 20, a very famous, amazing passage says this. Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine according to His? According to His? That is at work within us. To Him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. And then this beautiful word, amen, which means so be it. So we say amen, we agree with it. So there's power, there is more power than we could possibly imagine that is available to you and I, that can do immeasurably more than what we could possibly imagine as it works in us and through us to bring about this change throughout all generations through the Spirit of God. Beautiful, eh? It's an amazing passage. There are 5 Greek words in the New Testament that describe the way that the Holy Spirit works with us. And so when we're going to understand this power of God that's available to us, then these, it's good to have a bit of an idea about these 5 words. Now they're translated into the English language. Sometimes they use the same word that's translated from 2 or 3 of these words into the English language, like filled, for example. But it's helpful to look at the actual Greek words. And so there's this word that often is translated as the Holy Spirit with us, and that's this word paras, is where we get the word parallelogram or something comes alongside. And so that Greek word is a word para, and this is the Holy Spirit is with us, and this is even before we're born again. So even before we become a Christian, the Holy Spirit can be with you. He will talk to you, He will lead you, He will guide you towards Himself and towards a place where you can actually encounter Him. And when I was a teenager, I cried out to God and I wanted to know if God was real. And I started to experience the guiding and the leading of the Holy Spirit. And He was certainly with me and led me to a place where I surrendered my life to the Lord. So the Holy Spirit was with me. But He doesn't just want to be with us. He actually wants to be in us. And that's a different Greek word. That's actually a prefix, this word en or any. And that is when the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of us, and that's when we get born again. So He's alongside of us, He's with us, but He wants to not only be with us, He wants to be in us. And that happens when we receive Christ as our Savior and we get born again. We see this in the book of John chapter 14, verse 15 to 17. This is Jesus speaking. And He says, "If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and He will give you another advocate to help you and to be with you forever. The Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept Him because it neither sees Him or knows Him, but you know Him, for He lives with you." That's the word with, para, "and He will be in you." In other words, he's prophesying about a time that the Holy Spirit would now come and live inside of us. And we know that this became possible because of Jesus' death and resurrection. And it's been amazing just over the last few weeks just to talk about Easter and what and how we can live this life because of what God provided for us, and how the curtain in the temple was torn in two, and now we have access to things that we never had access to before. And in a few moments, we're going to be breaking bread again together and reminding ourselves that we can have the Holy Spirit in us because of what Jesus accomplished for us on the cross, that now He can be in us. So the very first thing that Jesus did when He resurrected, and it's recorded in the book of John chapter 20, verse 22, He came back from the dead, and He met with His disciples, and He breathed on them. And at that moment in time, when He breathed on them, they received the Holy Spirit, and they were born again. They were born again. The Holy Spirit came to live inside of them. Then there's another word that comes up, and this is found a lot in both the book of Luke and in the book of Acts. And I'm going to read out of the book of Acts chapter 1 from verse 4 to verse 8. This is Jesus speaking to His disciples after He's resurrected. And He says this. He says, "On one occasion, while He was eating with them, He gave them this command. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father has promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Now, they had already received the Holy Spirit. They were already born again. The Holy Spirit was already inside of them. But now He's talking about another experience where you would be baptized. Now, the word baptism is this amazing word which means to be soaked. It's something that happens on top of you. Like a, we talk about this when you talk about baptism, like a Omar Rusk, where you dunk the Omar Rusk in the coffee. It's yummy. And that's really what it means to be immersed or soaked. That's what the word baptized means. And so this Holy Spirit comes upon us. And we see actually another Greek word come up here, and it continues in verse 6. It says, then they gathered around them and asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the days my Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive when the Holy Spirit comes on you, a different word, that word on, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria to the ends of the earth. And so that Holy Spirit coming on is sometimes translated as upon or on, depending on which translation we're reading. And so Holy Spirit comes on us, and that's the Greek word epi. And it's when a person receives the baptism of the Holy Spirit, when you get baptized with the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit comes on us. And if you have not yet received this, this is for every single one of us. This is for you and the person next to you and for every single person. The Holy Spirit coming upon you to give us supernatural power to do and to be and to step into all that God's got for us. God is amazing. And there is more than what we could possibly imagine. And it's available to each and every one of us. Available to all of us through the Holy Spirit, not just being with us, not just being inside of us, but coming upon us, coming upon us. Now, what's interesting is there are these two other Greek words that describe this infilling, and they're translated into English, and both of them are translated into the English in this word filled. To be filled with the Spirit. I'm going to read out of the book of Acts, Acts chapter 2, the very next chapter, from verse 1. And this is now the disciples, now they're waiting for the Holy Spirit to come upon them. And it says, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly the sound, like the blowing of a violent wind, came from heaven and filled the house where they were sitting. And they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came and rested on, it's that word epi again, on each of them. And then all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak as the Spirit enabled them. And that word filled there is this word pletho. It's a supernatural empowerment where the Holy Spirit comes upon us. It's my favorite story in the Old Testament when I was younger, it was Samson, and the Holy Spirit would come upon him and he would get this supernatural power to do incredible things. And that's actually the same word in the Greek version of the Old Testament. The Holy Spirit coming upon us. Pletho. We see it in Acts chapter 4, verse 8, when Peter stood up and he was filled with the Holy Spirit. He was filled and then he spoke the word of God boldly, like the Holy Spirit would come upon and just supernaturally enable us. And this is like if we're in a difficult situation, you don't know what to do, the Holy Spirit can come upon us and empower us. Acts 4 verse 31 says, this is the disciple, or all the disciples were together, all the Christians were together, and they prayed. And it says this, after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. And so what we see when this word pletho takes place, the Holy Spirit coming upon us, there is a supernatural manifestation that takes place. Spirit-empowered speech is the evidence that we see in the New Testament. The supernatural power. And I thought about that. Why would speech be such a big deal? But when you actually stop and think about it, we realize it's because God spoke the world into being. The speech of God, the words of God, when we speak them, have the ability to do this. To create the most powerful force in the universe is spirit-inspired speech. One of the most powerful things that you and I can do is to speak the word of God, to speak and to speak into the future. When the Holy Spirit comes upon us and we speak boldly about what God's got for us, beautiful. Not our words, but his words. But then there's another word, this word pleru. It's also translated as the word filled. And this is not so much the Holy Spirit coming upon us, but being filled from the inside. So pletho is to be filled from the outside. Pleru is to be filled from the inside. And it's the indwelling Spirit that transforms us and fills us up from the inside. In Acts chapter 6, verse 5, they were looking for people to do certain things in the early church. And verse 5 describes Stephen, and it says this: this proposal seemed the whole group, and so they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit. Describing Barnabas in Acts chapter 11, verse 24, says he was a good man full of the Holy Spirit. That word, pleru. Pleru. I couldn't sleep last night. I think it was jet lag or something like that. I only fell asleep at 4:30 this morning, lying one way. But opportunity to pray and think about this morning. What does it look like? What does it feel like to be filled with the Holy Spirit? This word pleru, to learn to live full. Yes, the Holy Spirit comes upon us, but how do we learn to live full? We need both. We need the supernatural empowering when he comes upon us in certain moments to speak and to declare the presence of God. But also, like Stephen and like Barnabas, we need to be the type of people that are live full of the Holy Spirit. Because it's possible to be a Christian and to have the Holy Spirit inside of us, but we live empty. We live empty. And so just trying to read up a little bit more about this word, pleru. It's almost like a sailing boat. I haven't sailed much in my life. I think I've been in a sailing boat twice or three times in my life, not much. But like you get this spinnaker, this massive big sail that's in the front. And that spinnaker can either not be out or be out. But when you catch the wind and the spinnaker, that big sail that's in front of the sailing boat, when it gets filled up in the yacht and it catches the wind, that when it gets filled with the wind of God, it's like woof, and you can just feel that supernatural power, like the boat just starts moving rapidly in the direction of the wind. That's what God's will is for your life and my life, that our sail is out, our spinnaker is out, and we're catching the wind of God. And we're stepping into the future under the supernatural power, not our ability, not us trying to row into our future through our own efforts, but just letting him carry us boldly into all that he's got for us. There is more than what we could possibly imagine. There is more. There is more. So what we're going to do now is we're going to take a few moments to pray, spend some time individually praying. But the book of Luke, chapter 11, Jesus talks about how when we pray, we need to be the type of people that pray and keep on praying, seek and keep on seeking. In verse 8, it says this, but I tell you this. Jump to verse 9. So I tell you, keep on asking and you'll receive for what you ask for, and keep on seeking and you will find. There has to be a persistence in our prayer and our seeking of the Lord. And he's actually talking about the Holy Spirit here. He's talking about seeking and seeking. And maybe you've never experienced the Holy Spirit. Maybe this is all a little bit foreign to you. Or maybe you have, but it's been a while. But you keep on seeking. You keep on seeking. God, I need you. God, I need you. God, I want more of you. God, fill me. God, I don't want to step into my future without me. When we get desperate for him, because of the cross, because of the resurrection, the veil is torn in two. The door's been opened. And so what we have to do is to allow him in and to live fully empowered by the Spirit of God because of what he made possible through the cross. So as we go into this personal time of prayer, The emblem's over there. Feel free to go and take it when you're ready. Let's not all rush there. Let's just take a moment and just, God, I need you. God, I want more of you. God, I don't want to have to row into my future through my own efforts, Jesus. God, I want your Spirit to empower me, to carry me, to lead me, to be the driving force of my life as I submit to you, Jesus, as I follow you, as I surrender to you, God. There is more, God, and I want it. There is more, Jesus, and I don't want to go through the rest of my days empty. I want to step into all that you've got for me, for my family. Lord, full of your presence, Jesus.
Stay in touch. We'd love to hear from you. Send through your prayer requests, praise reports, or any questions you might have to 062-214-2814. That's 062-214-2814.